morning. Today I'm going to continue talking in our series about the Bible doesn't say that. And today the message is obedience always leads to financial blessings or blessings in general. Obedience always leads to financial blessings. And I don't want to just focus it on financial blessings, but that's a big part of it. What if that doesn't happen? What if when you come to Jesus and you give your heart and life to Him, things get rougher, things get tougher? I want us to talk about that today and see how the Apostle Paul dealt with that. So if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to read five or six verses there from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 22. Paul had a dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus. He was confronted by the Lord Jesus. He was struck blind. He was given instructions to be led in to a certain place, to call for a certain person who would do certain things. And his life was turned upside down. And he became one of the most strongest, prevalent evangelist, apostle, disciple of Christ that ever lived. Wrote the majority of the New Testament. But as we'll hear from Paul, he didn't experience that fallacy that a lot of people preach today. A lot of pastors, a lot of evangelists, a lot of whatever's preached today that, hey, you obey God and you're going to get a financial windfall, a financial blessing. So Paul starts this passage out because he'd been talking about reluctant boasting, being reluctant to boast, even though he had plenty to boast about, in and of himself, but also of Christ. And so in verse 22, he says, he begins to talk about suffering for Christ. Who likes to suffer? Let me see your hands. Everybody? Nobody likes to suffer? Okay. I don't either. Verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths more often. He said, you see, some of these people were boasting about themselves and their accomplishments or who they were or their lineage, their family tree, those kind of things. Paul said, I can boast a lot more. I can boast about those same things. But he says, I can also boast about being whipped more than them, being in prison, being near death more than them. In verse 24, he says, from the Jews, five times, I received 40 stripes minus one. That's called a flogging. 39 hits. With a whip, with leathers, with pieces of bone or metal in them. He says, five times. Five times. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in the water, in the sea. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in peril of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the brethren. Perils means in danger of. He's been in danger of all those things. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Was Paul obedient to the Lord? Okay, let's stop a minute. How many are here today? Okay, tell yourself you're here today. How many are awake? Tell yourself you're awake. Look at somebody and say, wake up. Was Paul obedient? In everything, in every way. Does that sound like easy street? Does that sound like a windfall of blessings because he was obedient? No. See, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that at all. In fact, that's not our experience many times when we come to Christ. Many times it's similar, not near as bad, but similar to Paul. Many times there's challenges. You see, there's a false doctrine that's taught in many places by false teachers. And the Bible tells us that this would be prevalent in the end times that we're in. So we're hearing all kinds of junk in the end times that the Bible doesn't say. Obedience always leads to financial blessing. Yeah, right. The Bible doesn't say that, but some people believe that. And unfortunately, they've been led to believe that people who represent the gospel, and they believe it from this twisted stuff that's being preached today. Not only this, but many things. In fact, some like to give the impression that when you become a Christian, all of life is easy street. There's a local restaurant in town up at the counter. It's got a little sign that says, "Where the heck is easy street?" I think Paul thought about that too. Where is Easy Street? He never found it. You see, he had one of the most dramatic conversions ever known when Jesus encountered him on the road to Damascus. And yet, he describes a vast portion of his life right here that we just read. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. Philippians 4, verse 10. Still with me? Yes. Don't go to sleep. Turn in your pages. But I rejoiced, verse 10, in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though surely you did care, but you lacked opportunity. He's talking about the church helping him out, giving him some support to carry the gospel. He says in verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need. See, Paul said, I'm not talking about needs. For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. In other words, Paul's saying, my needs are always met. And I've learned to be content with just having my needs met. He says, I'm content. Content. How many people, and don't answer this, I don't want you to lie in church, but I wonder how many people sitting here today are content with their life. Content, let me say this, maybe not content where you are because maybe you're not where God is. Want you to be yet. But how many of you are content with what you've got? Just content with who you are and where you are. He says in verse 12, I know how to be abased. Abased means live humbly. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Abound meaning live in prosperity. So he's saying, I know how to live with just a little and I know how to live with a lot. And he says, I have learned Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul says there's been times of little and times of plenty, times of lack and times of abundance. And he learned from God how to be content and not lose his joy in either situation. The word content. Content means satisfied with what is, or being willing in the circumstance. Willing. You know, being satisfied with what is, with the way things are that you have, being content with what is, or being willing in the circumstances. Now that says a whole lot more. Being willing in the circumstances. Maybe your circumstances aren't ideal. Maybe your circumstances are pretty bad or rough. But he says being willing in the circumstances. Are you willing? Are you willing to persevere in your circumstance? Are you willing to persevere and to suck it up and to keep going when things get tough? When the wheels fall off, maybe financially, maybe in a marriage, maybe in a job, are you willing to persevere? Are you willing to keep going? Are you willing to trust God when things look pretty ugly and bleak? See, contentment is a big word. But maybe things are going okay. Are you content when things are going okay? Let's talk about your place in the Lord. Are you content with what God has you doing, if you're doing anything for Him? You see, not all are apostles, not all are prophets, not all are evangelists, not all are pastors and teachers. But all have something. Are you running in your lane? Are you content with running in your lane where God has put you to do the best of your ability? Maybe it's ushering, maybe it's greeting. Are you willing to run in the lane He's got you in and be content and do your best and give Him your best? See, that word content covers a whole lot of ground, doesn't it? You know, I can remember someone, a young single mom, several years ago, had a good job making good money. Or at that time, very good money. And the Lord said, "You're done here. Quit your job." She didn't have another job, but she had two kids. She was a single mom. She was obedient. She quit her job, not knowing what the future would hold. Having a mortgage payment, having all the expenses that we have in life, she quit, trusting God. She was content. Now, she was obedient to God. Did the financial blessings pour out in abundantly? No. But just like Paul says, her needs were met. And she learned to be content in her circumstances. And she didn't work for a couple of years, at least. Some people told her, "You're crazy. Don't do that." You know, wisdom, human wisdom says, "Now, okay, if God says quit that job, fine, but get something else lined up first." That's not what God told her to do. He said, "Quit." And she quit. And for the next 2+ years, her needs were met. They had food to eat. Her kids had clothes and shoes. The mortgage payment got paid. It's probably late sometimes, but it got paid. And her needs were met. And she just didn't lay on the couch. I mean, she did odd jobs here and there to try to make a little money to do something. But she was just being obedient to God. And this is what Paul's talking about. Obedience to God may mean You go from what you got to a lot less. Obedience to God doesn't mean financial heavens open up. Obedience to God means you can trust Him. He's going to take care of you. It may not look like what you thought it was going to look like, but He'll take care of you. I wonder how many of us would be willing to do that. It's a big step. But it's obedience, it's contentment, it's being satisfied with what is, and willing, being willing in the circumstance. Her circumstances changed drastically. But you know what? Today, God has blessed her. She's in ministry. She's not making tons of money, but she's content with what is. And she's being used of God to affect people everywhere. In verse 13 there, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is a verse that's also twisted at times by some. You see, this doesn't mean that Jesus is going to give you the strength to accomplish anything you decide to endeavor, anything you endeavor to do just because you go after it and just because you know Jesus. That's not what it means. You see, a lot of people twist that verse and say, hey, if you know Jesus, just go do anything you put your mind to and it'll happen. The Bible doesn't say that. What the Bible does tell us to do is stop and pray and figure out what God does want you to go after, what He does want you to do. Some people think just because they know Jesus and they go, I'm going to go do this because that's what I want to do, I have a passion for it, that's great. But that may not be what God wants you to do. And He's not going to automatically bless it just because you know Him, especially if you haven't checked with Him. What it means is we can endure. When He says, I can do all things through Christ, Paul's saying, we can endure, we can persevere, and make it through all things in Jesus' strength, not our own, in Jesus' provision, in Jesus' direction and protection, as we totally depend on Him. That's what that young lady, that single mom I told you about, did right there. She depended on Jesus to be her strength, to be her provision, to give her direction, and to give her protection. And guess what? It worked out pretty good. In fact, it worked out good. Her needs are met. God has blessed her with a ministry that is phenomenal. Let's look at John 15 on that note. John 15, 5. And it's kind of a key to that in some ways. John 15, 5. This is, John 15 is where Jesus is speaking and He's talking about the vine and the vine dresser. And He's talking about abiding in Him. Abiding. In other words, abide, the word abide means to be in, to live in, to stay in, to continue in. And Jesus is talking about abiding in Him. And verse 5 is going to be up there, but I want to back up and share this with you. He says, as he leads up to verse 5, he says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. And the vine dresser means, doesn't mean clothing the vine. He means he takes care of the vine. Sometimes he clips it and purges it and trims it. But he gives it life and he infuses life and strength into it. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me, in Jesus, that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You see, that's exactly what happened to the young lady I was telling you about. He pruned her back. He took away her nice big salary, that was allowing her to take care of her two kids comfortably. He pruned that back, pruned her away so that she could bear more fruit. And today she's bearing much more fruit. Abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. We're the branches, but we can't bear fruit of ourselves. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I, verse 5, am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Here's the punchline. For without me, you can do nothing. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. Well, you say, I got a good business. I've made a lot of money. I've done a lot of things. I've been successful. Yes, you have. Are you content? Do you have peace and joy? Who gave you the ability to be successful, to make a lot of money? Who gave you the ability to run a business successfully? You see, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We may do a lot of things. We may do a lot of things in and of ourselves. But you know what? The truth is, without Jesus, it has very little value in the kingdom and for the kingdom. Very little. Back over to Philippians 4. Verse 19. He says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, the Bible doesn't say if you're obedient to God, you're going to experience financial blessing in every way, in every form. No, but what the Bible does say is, my God, the one true God, the God, will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus. According to his riches. God got a lot of riches? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, not 1,000 cattle. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So I think he can meet our needs. I think he can supply our needs according to his riches through Christ Jesus. We got to quit buying into the junk we hear and we read or somebody tells us. And we need to get in God's Word and know what the Bible does say. See, that's why these things that get twisted, and I can't wait to get to the next two or three. Because they're even better, or even more common, and there's probably more people that believe that. Some of the stuff I'm going to touch that the Bible doesn't say. But we need to know what the Bible does say. So we don't buy into this stuff and then get our hearts broken and say, "What God, what's up? God didn't help me. God didn't do this for me." Sometimes we watch too much TV, don't we? It's quiet in here today. Worship team, come on up. He says, and my God shall supply all your needs in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. The Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something. That's a promise. Paul experienced that. Paul didn't experience abundance because of his obedience in finances. No, as he said in the scriptures, he depended on the churches to help him, to give him support, to feed him, to help him carry the gospel as an evangelist and as an apostle. What he did know was what the Word does say. My God shall supply all my needs. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. You see, sometimes one of God's riches is salvation, eternal life, being set free and delivered from hell. Salvation. That's one of God's riches. Why do I say it's one of His riches? Because He gave all He had for that. Jesus gave His life for salvation. Are you content today? Are you content with what you have? Are you content with running in your lane that God has placed you in? Are you running in the lane that you're supposed to be in? Or are you trying to run in somebody else's lane? Are you content? Are you willing? As you sit here this morning, are you willing to persevere? To pursue God? To seek, as we talked about last week, to seek Him and find Him when you seek Him with everything you got, with all your heart? Are you willing to do that today? Are you content? Are you content in your relationship with God? Maybe as you sit here this morning, you think, well, I don't even know God. I've never really given my heart to Him because, you know, I've heard all these things. You got to quit doing this. You got to quit doing that. And you got to quit doing, give up that and give up this. Those things may occur, but they come through the Holy Spirit's prompting in your spirit to bring your life in line with Jesus. That has nothing to do with salvation in and of itself. If you don't know Christ, Jesus said it, apart from me, you can do nothing. You might exist. You might be breathing and walking around in human form, but you're not living. Have you ever thought there must be more to this God than what I'm experiencing? Well, I can tell you there is. There is. And God hasn't changed, and He hasn't moved. But too many of us want to play touchy fingers with Him and keep Him at a safe distance because He might turn our life upside down like He did that young single mom I talked about. Dear God, don't do that. That woman, I can tell you today, has never been more content in her life. And it started when He turned her life upside down because she was willing to be obedient. You know, there's so many people on this planet that need Jesus in their life. There's so many people in this church that need Jesus in their life. So I'm just going to put it to you like this. And I guess most of you pray with your eyes open. That's fine. I hope you're praying. But there's a lot of you sitting here right now. I truly believe the Spirit of God has quickened me and said, there's people sitting here today that really don't know me. They know about me. They know my son Jesus existed, but they've never given their life to Him and submitted their life to Him. So you need to put your faith in God. You need to put your faith in Christ. You need to ask God to forgive you of your sin. That's where it starts. Without repentance, there's no salvation. If you don't repent, repent means to truly want to truly turn away from what one way and turn to another. Really be remorseful for your sin. Not worry about whether you get caught in it, but be sorry, remorseful that you're living in sin. And so it starts with just repenting and say, God, forgive me. The Bible says if we confess our sins, if we ask Him to forgive us, He is faithful and true to forgive our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. All those things you worry about giving up, guess what? I did the same thing. But when I really came to Christ, the color in those things began to fade. The desire for those things began to wander. And He just takes those desires and changes your desires from the worldly things to Him. And so if you're sitting here today without Christ, I can tell you, and I'm not being ugly, don't mean to be coarse, but I'm being honest. You're going to go to hell if you take your last breath before you take Christ into your life. You will go to hell. Now you might say, well, that's your opinion, preacher. I said, well, I'm telling you what, I'm not going to bet on it. And I could be wrong. But I can tell you this, when you get to the end of your life and I'm wrong, you haven't lost anything. But when you get to the end of your life and I'm right, woe be it. You're going to be one miserable person forever. So I want your heads bowed. I want your eyes closed. And I want people to get honest. Why do you do that? Because I want people praying for one thing. And don't want you worrying about your neighbor, what your neighbor's doing. I want you to worry about you. If you need Christ this morning, I want you to have the guts and the fortitude to just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I need God. Just raise your hand. There's nothing shameful about that. The Bible says people rejoice in, angels rejoice in heaven. Raise your hand up so I can see it. I need God in my life. I see a couple. Any more? Okay, while people are praying, those of you that raised your hand, I want you to just look up at me. Just the people that raised their hand. This is about faith. God says, if you profess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so just pray this prayer. Lord, forgive me of all my sin. I believe Christ died for me. And I believe he was raised from the dead. I know I need a Savior. I believe I'll go to hell without him. So today I want Christ in my life. And today by faith, I put Christ in my life. I receive him by faith. Thank him for forgiving you. Thank him for saving you. Now God, I pray for these that raised their hand, that today you would seal in them by your Holy Spirit their salvation by faith. And I pray that they would believe with all their heart, their heart of hearts, that they would begin to walk with you today. And when the enemy tries to lie to them later after church and say nothing happened, God, that they would speak the name of Jesus and they would trust the name of Jesus and believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of their life. God, empower them, fill them right now with your Holy Spirit. And strengthen them. Give them your strength to walk in your ways. Give them your peace, love, and joy. Let them experience it abundantly. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you gave your life to Christ this morning, here's what's really important I want you to do. I want you to take out that connection point from the bulletin and fill it out. And check that box on the back. I gave my life to Christ today. Just fill it out. Fold it. Drop it in the offering bag or one of the boxes. And the reason I want you to do that, because I want to encourage you, I want to send you just a brief note about walking with God and what it means to do, and just encourage you in your faith. We need to get serious about our faith because the time's getting late. Ushers, if you'll come and receive the tithes and offerings, and let's pray together. Father, thank you for this opportunity to worship you in this way. We express our love and our trust for you with our tithes and offerings. In Jesus' name, amen.